ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening, this is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries, welcoming you to another one of our first of the month live Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We're being heard tonight over WWCR on transmitter 3 and transmitter 1, that's 4.840 megahertz and 3.215 megahertz, and also radio station WBCQ 7.490 megahertz. If one transmitter is not coming in clearly in your area, you can try one of the other stations. Also, we appreciate your different reception reports. If you would like to call and participate in the program tonight, the number is 877-924-7722. That's toll-free number, 877-924-7722. You can remember that by 877-YAWS-RACE. In this time of the coronavirus, the masses are being manipulated and regulated through fear by man-made government, establishment medicine, the left-wing media, and other sources. Yet, as Christians, the Bible tells us that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. By whose spirit, laws, and precepts are we truly operating? The topic of tonight's program is Faith, Not Fear. To discuss what is taking place and give a biblical understanding to the matter, my guest is a man who was called into the ministry from his youth, has spoken to many people through the years in a wide variety of formats, including his newsletter, Kimball's Trumpet Blasts, and has taught the kingdom message for over a quarter century. I'd like to welcome to the broadcast Pastor Kenneth Kimball.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. It's good to be on your broadcast. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you for being here. We appreciate that. And I know you've done some messages on this subject, and I look forward to hearing from you tonight, as I'm sure our listeners do. I have never seen in my life such fear among the masses as is now taking place. Not only do they believe all the mind control hype that's being propagated, but they look to government rather than God for the solution. What is God's solution?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen this much fear really going around. It's a lot. And, it's changed America. It really has. I don't know how it is in your area, but I know that around here, people are fearful. And I look around and I think, a lot of people, they want to obey the guidelines that are given to them. And so, but it's weird to go around and everywhere you see everybody wearing these masks. And if you don't happen to have a mask on, they look at you like, you're public enemy number one. And there's a lot of fear, and the fear is causing people to act kind of crazy because, fear makes it to where you don't think straight. Fear and anger, these emotions, they make you not think straight. And so I know there's a virus out there. I mean, I'm not saying that this isn't real. It's real. But honestly, people get sick and people die every year. Last year, 61,000 people died of the flu, and I think the numbers are like 31 million people caught the flu, and about 250,000 were hospitalized for it, and 61,000 died. And that's just, I mean, I don't know about you, I've had the flu before. I think most of us have. So to lock down the whole world like this just doesn't make sense. There's more to it. It goes deeper than just they want to, you know, make sure we're all healthy. I think that if a person would just think about it, they'd have to come to the same conclusion. So there's fear being propagated out there, and it's purposeful. And we need to just make sure that we do not fall for this as far as becoming fearful. God's people should not be fearful. Like you said in your introduction, the Lord hath not given us, or God hath not given us, the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So God's people should never be fearful. We know that with Him, all things are possible, and that if God is for us, who can be against us? We know that if He's on our side and we're doing His will, that we're okay. And it doesn't matter what all your neighbors, they may be just terrified about this. They may not even show their face out of their house. But we're not going to be fearful. Amen? We just don't want to be fearful. Isaiah right. chapter 41, verse 10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And we're told in Psalm chapter 23. Everybody knows this. We could all say it together, probably. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Now listen to the wording here. We are His sheep. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We are His people. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And one of the most wonderful psalms that you can learn, and my family has learned this years ago. We went to a church in Missouri that they really are big on memorizing scripture. And it really inspired us to memorize scripture as a family. My children were little back then. One of the first psalms that we memorized was Psalm 91. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And Mike, we've said that scripture as a family every day of the world since 9/11, for sure. And that's how we start our Bible time. Our family, we have Bible time every morning and every evening, most days. Sometimes it's just once a day. And if we're all away and I'm preaching at a conference or something, well, we may just have it once in that day or not at that day, because we have church all day at those things. But we trust God. And, you know, that 91st Psalm, it's a great psalm of deliverance. It's a great psalm of protection. And there's a story that the 91st Infantry, I believe it is, the 91st something, it was, I don't know the name of the general or the, you know, the commander, but they all came back from World War One, I believe it was, the 91st, because they said the Psalm 91 every day, and all of them came back home. So it's a great psalm of protection. Now, God's people don't need to be fearful. We should never be fearful. Our great God made the universe. And if he's protecting us, we don't need to be worrying about anything.
No, a lot of people get their mind off of the end, the victory that's promised to us. Luke 12:32 says, "Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom."
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, we do need to remember that we know how it ends. We know how all this ends. And we also know, listen, that God is working all of this, because his word says he's working all things together for good to them who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now, I love him, and I know that I have been called, and I know that it's for his purpose. So he's working all things together in my life for good, and I know that he's doing the same for all of his people out there. We just need to grab a hold of it. We need to own that. We need to just know that he's working all of this together for good to those who are the called according to his purpose, to the people that love him, and I love him with all my heart. He's my God. He saved me. He saved my soul. I don't deserve it. I do not deserve any good thing in my life. Because I know me, you know. You know, other people think I'm a really good guy, and I like to think that, you know, I am. But, you know me better than anybody else. I know that I don't deserve his grace. I know I don't deserve his mercy. And I dare say that none of us do. But I have been given this wonderful gift. He's called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I owe him my life. I mean, like the song says, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. And that's how I feel about it. I love him, and I know that he's working all things together for good for me and for all of his people.
And as you say, it all things work together for good for his people. Revelation 18:4 says, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and receive not her plagues." Well, I think you could call the coronavirus a plague. But he goes down further in Revelation 18 and talks about the financial collapse. It says, "In 1 hour thy judgment shall come, and the merchants are weeping and mourning, saying, alas, alas, Babylon has fallen." That word in the Greek is oi, oi. But anyway, this might be the end financially, and that's great if this world system ends and collapses, because that's when the kingdom comes in.
Yeah, it's exciting to think about what might be at the other end of this. It really is. And I don't want to I'd be a fool if I set a date or anything, but just seems to me like we are getting close to the end. And that is exciting. It's what we've been really waiting for all these years. And, you know, I guess there's a part of all of us that just wants to, you know, keep on going the way we've been going. There's things we want to do, things we want to accomplish. I understand that. I get that. But isn't it wonderful to think that we may be at the threshold of the coming kingdom of God on earth, where Jesus comes and takes the throne of his father David, as the Bible says, and rules over the house of Jacob, and the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever? That's exciting to me. So, I mean, all this trouble, and really, this, to me, this is unprecedented. Now, people say this, we've done these kinds of things before, but I just don't know. It just seems so high-handed, and all of it just seems so political. And but I don't want to go there. I really just want us to just hope in God. The Bible says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fiery furnace, the Lord God was with them. I believe it was a pre-incarnate appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Daniel was in the lion's den, God was with him. When David faced Goliath, the Lord was with him. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil." We shouldn't fear any evil because he's with us. He's with us. He's in the fire. He's in the lion's den. Whatever, however you want to, you know, compare it. We may be, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, we are in a fire right now. This is a fiery furnace that we're going through. People have, I have to say, it's probably going to get worse. But don't worry. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were fine in the fiery furnace because Jesus was with them. And the reason he was with them, listen now, it's important why he was with them. They didn't bow to the government at that time. They were being asked to bow down to an image that, you know, they had their God. They didn't need another God. And so they said, "I'm not going to bow." Well, they got in big trouble for it. And the ruler said, you will bow. And they said, "No, I'm sorry, we're not going to bow." They didn't say, "I'm sorry." "No, we're not going to bow." And because they didn't bow, they didn't start a revolt or anything. They didn't, you know, they didn't go down to the basement, get their guns, and start blowing up the place. They simply said, "I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to do it." And so they didn't, and they ended up in a fiery furnace. Their faith is why Jesus was there with them in the fiery furnace. Because you know what? They said, you know, even if God doesn't deliver, they had faith that God would deliver them. But they said, even if he doesn't, I'm not going to bow. We're not bowing. So they ended up in the fiery furnace, and the Lord was with them, and they didn't even smell like smoke. The guys that put them in the fiery furnace died. They died because it was so hot. It was heated up 7 times hotter than it was normally heated up. And the people that put them in there died. But they didn't. Their clothes didn't even burn up. They didn't even smell like smoke. And you know that changed the heart of that ruler. God is with us if we're faithful to him. He's with us in the fire.
I might add that those of us who understand the kingdom message ought to have more faith and less fear than anybody.
Amen.
I know that here in the Arkansas, there were no lockdown orders. One of the states that didn't have any.
Bless you.
Did have some restrictions, but churches were able to stay open, yet here in the Ozarks, where it's relatively light as far as the coronavirus goes, many churches, perhaps most of them, close their doors. I know that the Mennonites, we have quite a few Mennonites in the area, they didn't. And I admire them for their faith in that respect. But most of the denominational churches close their doors.
Yeah, that was puzzling to me. When this first started happening, it was amazing to me that the churches, it seemed like all the churches just en masse, they just all shut down. And I just don't get that, you know, because the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, especially as you see the day approaching. And of course, it's talking about the day of the Lord, and I think that we can see plainly that that's coming up pretty quick. And I just don't get all the churches. Now, they will say, I mentioned this in an email, and I got some kind of hateful emails back, but, you know, because their church wasn't meeting, and I guess they felt insulted that I would say anything about it, but I just don't get a church that will shut its doors, whatever the CDC guidelines are. You know, we have a king. I know we're Americans, and we are part of this country, but still we have a higher calling that we, you know, a higher one that we answer to, and that is God. And his people really should not be forsaking the assembling of themselves together. I think it was just fear, but still, I mean, that's not good. God's people should not have fear. They should be confident in Christ, because in him we'll be fine.
It also goes along with what was said over in Acts 5:29, where Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men.
Amen. Amen. And I believe we should obey the laws of the land as long as they don't cause us to disobey God. And I just feel like if the law of the land is you can't go to church, that if we obey that, we're disobeying God. And so, I mean, the only thing for us to do, really, is to go ahead and gather together, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And, you know, if somebody feels like they're sick or they have this virus, I mean, we have brains. We can stay home, and we won't go around other people. It's like with the flu or the measles or mumps or whatever, anything that's contagious, if we're contagious, I've stayed home before and not mingled with people. People have enough sense to do that.
As I said at the top of the broadcast, he gave us a sound mind when I read the scripture there. Not the spirit of fear, but gave us a sound mind. He gave us a mind to use.
Absolutely. And I guess the powers that be don't think we have minds, because they're wanting to tell us what to do, this is something we don't need. We don't need the government telling us that we can or cannot go here or there, and we have to wear a mask anytime we go anywhere. The whole thing is just scaring people, and I'm glad that this is our subject tonight, because it's something we've been preaching and teaching for years, and that is we are God's people. We need not be fearful. I know there's a storm out there. I mean, there's so many analogies, like the fiery furnace or the lion's den. You can say there's a storm out there, a really dreadful storm that we are facing as a people. But, you know, there's a passage in Matthew, let me see if I can find it here, where the disciples were out in a boat. Yeah, let me see if I can find it. All right, it's in Matthew chapter 14. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. Everybody listen, let's go to Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to read about something that happened And I think it's really applicable or relevant to what's going on today. Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. Jesus had fed the multitudes, and he told the people, now you go on home now. And he went up on a mountaintop to pray. And while he was up there, his disciples, he sent them out on a boat. Let me just read it. In verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And Jesus, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit!" And they cried out for fear. Fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And I think that this is something that Jesus is telling us today. Hey, it's me. I'm with you. I'm with you in this storm. Don't be afraid. It's me. I'm with you. And Peter, you know, always the first to speak up, good or bad, he said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And so Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when Peter saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me!" And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And in another gospel, it tells us that as soon as they got into the boat, and the wind ceased, and they were also at the shore. They were at their destination immediately. Well, there's things that we need to see in here. One is there is a storm, and we are in the storm. But he's with us. He's out there. And all we need to do is trust him. And we need to draw close to him. I like what Peter said, and I don't even know why he would say something like this. "If it's really you, bid me come out on the water with you." Why would he say that? I believe God inspired him to say that. Because we need to see something here. Peter got out of the boat to walk over to Jesus. Because, hey, you know, if Jesus tells you to do something, you can do it. I don't care what it is. It could be anything at all. People cannot walk on water. It's impossible. But Jesus said, "Come on, Peter." And so he got out of the boat and he was walking on water, just like Jesus was. But the thing is, he saw all of the boisterous wind and he saw the troubled waters and he took his eyes off of Jesus and he started looking at the trouble. And it consumed him. It started to consume him. He sank down into it. Because he took his eyes off of Jesus and he looked at the storm. My dear friends, whoever's listening, if we take our eyes off of Jesus, that's where we should have our focus, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is everything. He is our all in all. He is our Lord, our Master, our King. He's our Savior. We love him with all our heart. He is the one we should be focused on. We shouldn't be focusing on the storm. When you focus on the storm, it'll consume you. And I know there's a lot of people out there, you're listening right now, you might be focused on the storm. It's easy to do, because if you watch the news, or you read the paper, or you listen on the radio, it's all they're talking about is this storm, this coronavirus. And so people get fearful. and it starts to consume them. All of a sudden, it's all they can talk about, all they think about, and before you know it, they're ready to go kill somebody. It's horrible. So we gotta just not focus on the storm. We need to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. I love what Jesus says to him. Peter cries out to him, "Lord, save me." And that's what we have to do. If we're focused on the storm and it's consuming us, we got to turn to Jesus. We got to turn to him and say, "Lord, help me. I'm drowning in this storm. This is eating me alive. I can't take it anymore." Really, if you think on this all the time, it's going to tear you up. It's going to rip your guts. But you got to focus on Jesus and just reach out and say, "Lord, help me. Save me." But I love what Jesus said here. "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Think about that, would you? He got out of the boat and walked on water, and Jesus says to him, "O thou of little faith." What's that make us? You know? Anyway, we must focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are focused on him, we're going to be on top of the water. This troubled water won't mean anything to us. We'll walk on it. We're walking on it because we are focused on Jesus, not the storm.
Faith is the opposite of fear. And as part of faith, he gives us a peace. Philippians 4:7 says, "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus."
Amen. Amen. Yeah, fear is the dark room where negatives are developed. And don't you do it, nobody out there listening. I don't know how many people are listening, but don't do it. Don't be fearful. "What time I am afraid," the Bible says in Psalm 56:3, "what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." I'm afraid, but I'm going to trust you. "Lord, I'm trusting you. You're my source. You're my protector. You're my deliverer. You're my provider. You're going to see me through this. You're my shepherd. I am your sheep. I'll be fine. I'm just going to trust in you."
Also, if he trusts us in little things, he can trust us later in greater things. And I believe this coronavirus is relatively small. It's possible that in the near future they're going to have mandated vaccines and other things. And we need to pass the test in small things so we can take the bigger challenge later and do our part to bring in his kingdom.
Yes, that's a good point. Amen. It is probably going to get worse. When this first started, I was, pretty upset because, all of a sudden every place that I wanted to go was shut down. And so you get this idea, well, okay, it's just going to be like this for a couple of weeks. That's what they said at first. And the schools shut down. One of our people has a daughter, and they told her a couple of weeks probably. Then it was a month, and then it was the rest of the school year. You're off the rest of the school year. So it really looks like, I don't know, it seems like there's no end in sight. Now, that I'm in Michigan. A lot of places are not near as tough as here. But we're going to trust God. Even however bad it gets, we're going to trust God. And he'll be with us. He really will. We just need to trust him. We need to not be fearful.
I agree 100%. Yeah. People out there who have their questions or comments and can tell us what's going on in their area, may call our toll-free number, 877-924-7722, 877-YAWS-RACE. Just before we went on the air, I got an email from one of our listeners out there, and this is completely off of tonight's topic, but they asked that we address the flood. First of all, it was not a worldwide flood. The word in the King James is Eretz, which means that land or that country. And also, he asked why Noah was saved out of the flood. It was because he was
perfect in his generations or perfect in his genealogies. He didn't race mix like the others in that area. But if people are interested in that particular topic, we carry a book by Dr. Swift called Were All People of Earth Drowned in the Flood? You can also go to our radio archives and see some broadcasts on the flood. And we also carry tapes and CDs on that subject. So I just wanted to try to make a comment on that listener's question tonight. Do you have any comments, Pastor Campbell?
Obviously, with you, this is your program, and I don't know that we're on the same page on that, but that's okay. I know there's a lot of people that have different ideas in our circles about different things. I'm going to stick to tonight's topic of let's not be fearful. Let's have faith. There's evidence down in Texas of a worldwide, of the flood, you know, or at least a great catastrophe. And so I've seen that. Dinosaur footprints and human footprints in the same stone, and it's just amazing.
We have a caller, looks like a relative of yours.
Really?
From Michigan. His last name's Kimball. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Okay.
Who's
that? I was calling a caller.
Okay.
Well,
that's my daughter, Katie Ferris.
Yes. This is Rebecca. I was calling to listen, and apparently I called the wrong number.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, well, I can put you on mute, and you can listen. But if you have a question or comment,
great.
Go
Thank
ahead.
Thank you.
I think she just...
Okay, I put her on mute so she can listen to the broadcast. If anybody else would like to just listen, and I put you on, just say that you want to listen by... calling 877-924-7722. Like I said, you can also call and make your comments and questions concerning tonight's broadcast.
Yeah. Well, amen. You know, I think it's great to, I think you're doing a good thing, Mike, having this radio broadcast. People are fearful, and they just... it's hard not to be. It really is. We can say, oh, I'm not going to be fearful, and the Lord is my shepherd and all that. But when we're faced with something and it seems overwhelming, you know, you tend to forget those things, and it's good to be reminded. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "Be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." And Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths."
Christ also said that greater things ye shall do, and they were doing healings and various deliverances and so on back then. And I think for the most part, our people haven't tapped that power today, but it's available to us.
Amen. Amen. I agree. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He said, "I am the Lord and I do not change." Well, there's a wonderful psalm. I don't know if has anyone called in yet?
Don't see anybody on the board at the moment.
Okay. Well, that's all right. Another psalm in the scriptures, which is a good one for these times, is Psalm chapter 37. I'm going to go there. And I really don't want to monopolize the conversation. If you've got something that you
want to
just...
Go ahead. We're here to have
right,
to listen to you tonight.
All right. Now, I really hope I'm a blessing to. May the Lord be a blessing to everyone out there. Honestly, people don't need to hear from me. We all need to hear from the Lord, from God, Jehovah, Yahweh. And because, you know, I could say this or that, and if it's me, it's really not going to be a blessing to anybody. I can't do that. But I pray that somehow the listeners tonight will be blessed because of the Spirit of God. That's my prayer.
Well, you're the vessel that he's using tonight, but we do have another caller from Ord, Nebraska. Oh. You're on the air.
Yes, this is Jake, and I was listening at 6 o'clock on shortwave about God sending these different plagues and things to, like droughts, to for his own purposes to accomplish something that he wants to accomplish. Like it might be a judgment, I guess, or he wants to move people around to different locations or something like that. You want to comment on that?
Sure, yes, and thank you for your call. I really appreciate it. Yeah, God loves us. We're referred to as God's children. We're referred to as God's the sheep of his pasture. We're referred to as his bride. So there's different ways that God refers to us in the scriptures. And I just want to kind of talk about how we're called his children. When God, when our children, as humans, when our children act up, you know, and they're not doing what we told them to do, or they're doing everything we told them not to do, or whatever. Anyone who's got children knows what I'm talking about. And God is our Father. And if we are not acting like he told us to act, if we're doing the things he said not to do, or if we're doing all kinds of things, or if we're not doing the things that he told us to do, he's going to punish us. He's going to discipline us. He's because he's a loving father. And why do we discipline our children? We do that because we want them to do well. We want them to do well and be blessed in life. If they don't understand how to behave themselves, they're not going to do well in life. Well, God's like that too with us. And he sends things among his people when we act up, when we're not doing things right, when we're being disobedient. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13, let me get there. Just want to make sure I don't leave anything out. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13. It says, God is talking. And it says here, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So here we have God sending bad stuff upon his people. And the purpose is not to destroy them. It's to cause them to turn back to him. It says, if I send pestilence among, let's just talk about pestilence. Would you say this coronavirus or, you know, whatever, this is a pestilence. I think it would qualify as a pestilence.
Well, I like to differentiate between the virus and the communists that are trying to shut down our economy and destroy America. So I think the reaction to the virus is worse than the virus itself.
Oh yeah, the cure, as the president said, the cure can't be worse than the sickness, but it really is. I think it's affecting the whole world, whereas the virus is only affecting tens of thousands of people. In this country anyway. But, he wants us to turn back to him. We, honestly, you can say it was this enemy or that enemy, but really our worst enemy And you might disagree with this, but here's how I see it. Our worst enemy is ourselves. And here's why I say that. Nobody did this to us. We did it to us. We took God's word out of the public schools years and years ago. We have taken the Ten Commandments off of the courtroom walls. We've welcomed every sexual perversion and even celebrated it and said it's wonderful and it's good. We have glorified what God calls abomination. We have abortion has become just a political issue. I mean, we're talking about murdering children in their mother's wombs. We've done all of these things over the past 40, 50 years. This is why these things are happening to us. Nobody really could touch us. Nobody could do this to us. But we've done it to ourselves. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you want to turn there and read that sometime later, because it's long. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 to 14, we read all the blessings, the national blessings that we will enjoy if we are obedient as a people to God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shall be your basket in your store, your economy will be booming, you'll be blessed going in, blessed coming out. That's how it will be if we are obedient as a people to God. But from verse 15 all the way down to verse 68, the whole rest of the chapter, it's all the curses that we will experience if we are disobedient as a people. And our history is basically, you know, our early history when we came over here, and I'm talking about Americans, we came over here and we established this land and we acknowledged God and our laws were God's words, basically. That was our history. When we're talking about Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 to 14, that is where we were as a people at that time. But you look at us today, and you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 to 68, that's where we are today. And one of those curses is that the stranger that is among us shall rise up above us very high, and we'll be pushed down very low. So we've done this to ourselves, and I think we need to focus. We need to understand why we are in the condition that we're in. It's really no earthly enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. And these things, when we are disobedient to God, we kind of activate these things, and I preached a sermon that when God will not hear our prayers, or when he will not listen to our prayers, and we should be a praying people. We should be a praying people. God wants us to pray. He says, "Pray." The Word of God says, "Pray without ceasing." And He teaches us to pray, but you know, if we have sin in our heart, He won't listen to us. In Psalm 66:18, it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." And in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and going to verse, well, let's just read 1 and 2. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save." You know, some people are praying, "Oh God, please get us out of this mess." Well, first of all, we got us into this mess. We got ourselves into this mess. And His hand isn't short that He can't save us. "Neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear." Verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." It's not that He can't hear. God can do anything. He just won't listen to His people when they're disobedient. And that's really why we're in the mess we're in. So I don't know, would you like to comment on that, Mike?
Well, I'd like to say that He's sovereign in all things. He allows it, if not directly causing something, because through His sovereignty, He'll work it out for our good in the end.
Yeah, all things do work together for good, for his called.
I was listening to a YouTube video from Hillsdale. Would it be okay if I commented about Hillsdale College and President Larry Arn?
Go ahead.
I thought it was interesting that the president was interviewing this banker, and they agreed that it was kind of a severe thing to shut down the economy and probably an overreaction. But then the thing that stuck out was that they thought the vaccination might be okay, a good thing to have. And of course, I'm pretty sure you guys and myself, a lot of us don't want that, don't trust the people that are promoting the vaccine like that Bill Gates guy. And another thing about Hillsdale is that it's a Zionist organization, so that's Zionism is from Talmudism, and that's Judaism and communism. So that's one bad thing about that college too. Go ahead.
Well, all you have to do is just look online, and there's so much literature out there about how vaccines. What a vaccine is it's putting the sickness into your body, and of course the theory is that you put the sickness into the body and it develops antibodies that it fights against it so that you are immune, you become immune. But really, honestly, why would anyone want to put sickness into their body, especially, you know, something that is this destructive? I don't know. The listener would just, you know, do what their heart dictates on that, but I'm not in favor of vaccines, and I don't know anybody in our circles that would recommend vaccines.
In fact, I send out letters for various people who want to have religious exemption from their children taking vaccinations in school. So far, it's always worked. And
Amen.
I think we should be leery of anything that the establishment media is pressing, whether it's vaccines or whether it's something like just the coronavirus itself. Any time that the media is pushing something, I get pretty leery. We do have another caller. Did you have any more comments from Ord, Nebraska?
Short one, yes. Up there in Montana, there's Steve Quayle was saying that this conflict is really going to get hot when they come with that needle to your front door, and then there's people inside the house that are going to shoot back with their point the gun back at them, and that's going to create a severe conflict. But that's all I have to say. Thank you. Goodbye.
Well, thank you for your call. And like I said, we do have another caller from Texas. You're on the air.
Yes, hey, my name's Kyle, and I'm calling from around the Muskogee, Oklahoma area. And all I just want to let you know is, like Mike has talked about, I've listened to him for a number of years. And the problem is the churches. I mean, you walk into a Walmart, and you've got anywhere from half to three-fourths of the people, depending on the day, of wearing masks. And, you know, as you guys were talking tonight, you know, the masks really aren't, you know, the answer to the problem. And, you know, but I just wanted to pass that on from around the Muskogee area of that, you know, our churches just have got to start preaching properly, like your guest has tonight and stuff like that, and other guests you've had on these first of the month. And I'll leave it just at that because I know you're near the top of the hour, and I thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for your call.
Comment.
We appreciate it. And we've got less than a minute until we need to put on the closing announcement. Do you have some concluding remarks?
Brother, I just want to tell you it's been a delightful experience, and I appreciate you calling or inviting me to be on your program. It's been a long time since I've been on the radio. And I've enjoyed it, and I hope that the listeners have enjoyed it, and I hope that I've brought at least something that's been of some value. for their to their attention. And God bless you, dear brother, and appreciate, again, the invitation.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, and it's certainly an important subject, and I'm sure that our listeners have been blessed by it. And faith, not fear. That's really, we'll leave it tonight, and we'll
Amen.
Have to have you on sometime again in the future. May Yahweh our God bless our listeners and bless you tonight.
Thank you.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.